This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy St. Patrick's Day to you. This is Bob Arthurs from Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, WWBC 1510 AM, and then there are some other frequencies throughout the county, 94.7, 99.9, and 100.7. And by the way, I will tell you, I've listened to those 1030 programs, and if you can find the FM signal, the broadcast comes in a lot clearer on that FM station. I don't know all of the different transmission technologies and all that sort of stuff, but I can tell you that the FM signal is much, much clearer when I'm driving down the road than the AM dial. So if you can find it at 94.7 or 99.9 or 100.7, you may be able to hear my voice a little bit clearer. I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They have a service area that covers all of Brevard County from Barefoot Bay all the way up into the Mims and Scottsmore area. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. If you are looking for a service company for your air conditioning and heating systems or electrical problems, Wyrick Air may be a great resource. They provide professional sales and services in those fields. They've been doing so for over 50 years. They primarily work in residential settings, but they do some light commercial work as well, like Merritt Assembly of God. And they provide emergency service when necessary. I am so thankful for them. Whenever we have an issue, we make a phone call, send a text message, and say, "Hey, can we know that you're busy? Can you get us on the schedule to get something repaired?" And sometimes it's something minor. Sometimes it can be a little bigger. But they get it taken care of as quickly as they possibly can. They're Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida in the Geneva area. He brings the Word of God to the pulpit, and he brings the values of the Word of God to his business. They may be just the resource you're looking for before the heat of summer gets here. I always find it's best to know what you're going to do before you find yourself in a particular situation. So if you're looking for a trustworthy company that will provide great quality of service at an affordable price, Wyrick Air may be just the resource you're looking for. Their license number is CAC 182-1309. Their phone number is 321-632-9538. And we're very thankful for them. We're going to return back to Matthew chapter 18. It says there in verse number 28, "But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt." Verse number 31. "So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master and all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant? But as I had pity on you, just as I had pity on you. And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to each of you from his... So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. I'm going to go clean my glasses after I get done with this program here today. So we had talked about on yesterday's program that the servant who had been forgiven this huge, huge financial debt went out and found someone who literally owed him fractions of a penny on the dollar of what he had been forgiven. He goes out, lays hands on him, throws him into debtor's prison, and says, you know, you're going to pay the debt you owe, and that's the way it's going to be. So there are a lot of people who want to experience the blessing of forgiveness, but they don't necessarily practice forgiveness. Remember, this story that Jesus is telling is in response to Peter asking, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. And so I want to start off the program today, and maybe it's a little different, but I know full well that I'm not a perfect person. And if you're here in Brevard County and there's ever been anything that I've said to you or done to you that was less than godly, I want to sincerely ask for your forgiveness. A lot of times we preach about forgiveness, but we don't necessarily ask for forgiveness. And so I just want to put that out there. There was a mindset that was very predominant at one point in time, and it was like, never apologize is a sign of weakness. Well, that's not my take on it. In fact, a person said that one time, and I said, actually, it's a sign of strength. And so when our kids were growing up, if we did something that, you know, wasn't as godly as it should have been, we weren't afraid to say, hey, I'm sorry. I want to ask you to forgive me. I blew that. I messed it up. I wasn't as good, as godly as I should have been at that moment. Would you forgive me? And so that's the type of dynamic we grew up in, or as a family. But I don't just want to be preaching about forgiveness. I want to live forgiveness. And so if I've grieved you, wronged you, done anything that was less than pleasing in God's sight, I want to ask you to forgive me. And I hope that you'll do the same thing, that you'll go Mark Perkey was at our church back in February for our I Love Mission Sunday, and he was telling about one of his family members who was in hospice care or was not long for this world, and he had his phone directory out, as long before cell phones, and he was calling up all of the people he had interacted with, and he had interacted with quite a few, and he was like, hey, I just wanted to ask you to forgive me. If there's anything that I've done wrong, I want to ask you to forgive me. Because he knew that he was going to be meeting Jesus pretty quickly, and he wanted to make sure that he didn't leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth because of how he had represented Jesus. Verse 31 says that what the guy who had been forgiven much did to the guy who owed little, that it did not happen in a vacuum. It did not happen in secret. It happened in public amongst a whole bunch of other fellow servants. So if you remember, that's what started this process. This story was, this guy was a servant to the master and he owed him money and the king wanted to settle the accounts. And, so all of these servants start coming in. They were all fellow servants. As you're navigating Brevard County, as you're interacting with other people in the community, and interacting with people in church, remember that we're all supposed to be serving Jesus. That's the ultimate goal. My goal is not to get to see how well people will serve me. The goal is to see how well all of us can serve the King. And if we're really good in the realm of serving him, it says that our service will not be in obscurity, that we will continue to have our responsibilities and our sphere of influence to increase. So when this one who's been forgiven a great deal ends up not acting the same way that he had just been the recipient of, his fellow servants were grieved. It says that they were very grieved. It means that they were not happy. The word "they're grieved" means that they felt like there was a loss. They had lost a fellow servant due to this person's unforgiveness. The word grieving here is something that we don't grieve the way the world grieves. We may experience loss, but we don't experience the grief the same way that other people do. So these people were grieved. They sensed the loss of this fellow servant. And they weren't happy about it. And so they went and reported to their master what had been done. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and that is God knows everything. God knows the thoughts that you think. He knows the thoughts that I think. He knows our intentions. He knows our actions. He knows our motives. You can do the right thing with the wrong motive, and it's going to be of no reward to you. Elisha had a servant named Gehazi, and Gehazi was motivated by greed, and when Nahum was healed of leprosy, Elisha had refused any monetary reward, and Gehazi said, well, that's not right. He should pay something. And so he goes and tracks him down, and he doesn't realize that God knew what was going on. Gehazi ends up being leprous from that time forward. Naaman got healed of leprosy, and Gehazi contracted it. God knows what we do. But sometimes people when they pray, will say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. And sometimes we just need to say it. And so these people go and they report to the master the way that the forgiven servant reacted without forgiveness to someone, to another one of the servants. So they went and told the master. And the master responds in verse 32. He calls the forgiven servant back into his presence. And he says this to him, "You wicked servant." Unforgiveness means that it is a wicked action. Unforgiveness is indicative of a morally bad person. The condition of the person morally is not right. Unforgiveness is not a virtue. It's a vice. And he reminds him, "You're a wicked servant." He went out and treated that other person as if he was the master, when actually they were both, their interaction, their relational dynamic was because both of them had the same master. They were serving to make this king, this master, successful. Number one goal, let's make Jesus well known for all the right reasons in Brevard County. Okay? Not because of ungodly actions. So we need God to not only cancel our debt, but to transform us morally. The moral compass is so messed up in modern society that people are doing wrong and thinking that they are the people who are right. There are people who are believing lies and propagating lies while thinking they are messengers of truth, because the moral compass is bad. That which is good is called bad. That which is bad is called good. It is indicative of a wicked society that we live in. The good news is the gospel is great news for wicked people, but only if we are going to live out the principles. So our prayer is not just, "God, forgive me," but it's, "God, transform me so that my actions align with your actions, that when I speak, my words remind people of the words that you speak, that my actions are indicative of the way that you would act." We are supposed to be his ambassadors. In the kingdom of darkness, we are supposed to be representing the kingdom of light. He said, "I forgave you. I abandoned all the debt because you begged me. You asked me to." Huge debt. Huge debt. "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And there are a lot of people that said, "Hey, you know what, if I'm going to sin, I might as well go big." And they go and they create even bigger problems for themselves. Unless you're talking about blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, there isn't an unforgivable sin. But our goal should not be to sin as much as we can sin. Our goal should be forgiven of our sin and live a life that is pleasing to God as long as we can, to the best of our abilities, not the least of our abilities. So he said, "You begged me to abandon your debt, and I did. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant?" Remember, in verse number 27, the master was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. He said, "You should have responded with compassion." Listen, when we come to church, we shouldn't leave mean. We should leave compassionate. We're not only there to appropriate forgiveness for our own selves, but to extend forgiveness to those that we interact with. If the compassion of God has been demonstrated on our behalf, it should change us. It's not just a financial transaction. Your relationship with Jesus is not just about what happens inside the church building for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. That's not it. It's not, okay, well, this is this compartment, and when I go out of that compartment, then I'm going to be addicted to substances. I'm going to be vile in my communication. I'm going to be abusive in the way that I treat others, and everybody thinks it's okay. Listen, that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is that what God does in our heart impacts every area of our life. It renews our mind. It changes the way that we do relationships. It changes our priorities with finances. It impacts the way that we treat others because we now treat them with compassion. We're looking for their best interest. We value them as an individual. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant? This statement very much, you know, makes me think of, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. But we called you Lord. He said, I never knew you. And it's not because God has a bad memory. It's just God's not looking for people who will do things on his behalf. He's looking for people who will spend time with him, be changed by him, who will go out and carry that relationship blessing to those that he wants to have that relationship blessing with as well. He said, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? The same way you received is the same way that you should have dispensed it. And it says in verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Okay? I will tell you this. God's anger is not like man's anger. You can wake up angry if you're not careful. You can dream something in the night. Maybe you have a crick in your neck or a pain in your back or whatever it is. You can get up. Maybe you have a busy day. You didn't sleep night, or there was a rocket that went off in the middle of the night and woke you up, whatever. And you just get up, and for some reason you're angry. God's not like that. God's interactions with people are not motivated by circumstances. When the Bible describes him as anger, it's righteous indignation. He wasn't angry about the 10,000 talents. He was angry about the abusive way that that another one of his servants was being treated. That's why I say this. Make sure that you remember when you're interacting with other people, especially Christians, that when you are dealing with them, you are dealing with part of the family of God. And I know how protective I am of my family members. And God is even more protective. He's watching over you. So when he talks to us about unforgiveness, he is not only talking about the person that we're going to forgive, he also knows that unforgiveness is toxic for us. It imprisons us. It is tormenting to us. So when you read this, realize that that God's compassion to forgive is not only about canceling our debt, but empowering us to live a life where we forgive others, because unforgiveness not only leaves us imprisoned, it leaves us tortured and tormented and in anguish. And if you remember the first part, it also impacted his wife and his children, everything that he had. And he said, you're going to the torturers until you should pay everything that was due you. He was never getting out. It was a life sentence. Unforgiveness has the potential of ruining the rest of your life. The compassion of God towards us and through us can change all that. This is what it says, verse 35. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. So God says the way that you treat others is the way that you are going to be treated. I had a person one time that they had heard a person say, hey, if you don't forgive others, you're not going to be forgiven either. And they had been taught something different. And then they read their Bible. And originally the person they heard that from, they didn't care much for them after that. And then they read exactly what they had shared in the Bible. And all of a sudden they said, I don't have a problem with him as much as I have a person that taught me wrong. So the forgiveness that we extend is not from our head. It's not from our lips. It has to be from our heart. So what does that mean? That means that people who have moral violations or failed us, sometimes even failed us morally, that we have to be willing to forgive them, to abandon the debt the same way that God has abandoned our debt. I know people that would rather be right than be in a relationship. The winning to them is more important than having a person in their life that they should value and treasure. Jesus came for sinners. Paul said, out of all the sinners, I'm the chiefest. If he can forgive me, he can forgive you. And so I want to encourage you. How do you get to that place where you forgive others? You find out that, say, God, I want to forgive them. And not only that, I want to pray your blessing on them. I believe that the primary blessing in a person's life is the blessing of repentance. And so when I pray, God bless a person, if they're not a Christian, what I am praying is, God, bless them with a revelation of who you are. Bless them with a revelation of how they've wronged you. Bless them with a revelation that you want to cancel their debt. You want to take up residence in their heart and you want to change their life. I had an email I got the other day and it said, how do you know you were transformed? He said, I was there. I'm a much different person because of Jesus. I pray that you are different, and I pray that those we forgive, that they will be different soon. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.